And the stock market is, in our view, especially the U.S. stock market, in a major topping process. It has been for a year, including go back to last January. We said, okay, sell, it's going down, but it's a topping process. Mm-hmm. And by that, I meant, you know, it's not going to crash and just keep going. So therefore, we as gold people are looking at the stock market because we know that when the beast breaks, all kinds of data points will go dark and the Fed will go berserk. And that is what gold is. It's the inverse of the decaying money unit. In our case, the dollar or the yen or the euro. And the central banks panic. They liquefy their systems. They create more money units, make things better, and therefore the buying power of the money units declines, if you look at it. You get back over 90 on silver and you get gold to 5,300, you better cover your shorts. or you're going to wet them, because they're going to blow at that point. You're going to get the acceleration that we expected in this couple quarter surge. And consider what you saw in late January to be the midpoint correction.
Got it.
Time-wise, I think silver could be $300 to $500.
Michael Oliver, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Good, Andy. How are you doing?
Yeah, you know, it's very timely to have you on, and I'm really looking forward to our chat. To all my viewers and listeners, I am, I get Michael's services. I am a client. I'm a very happy client. I do recommend, this is a recommendation. I'd recommend that you check out more of his work and use his work. It'd give you a great perspective. And Michael, that's what I want to talk to you about right now. So what a wild ride. Let's start with the stock market and how it pertains to, that's what we're leading you through to gold and silver. But let's just talk about the events. Where do you want to begin?
The stock market's important if you're in gold, because not for the reasons that most people think, meaning, oh, if the stock market goes down, gold goes too, which is nonsense. It's historically nonsense. You can go back and do your archival research, as we've done many times, to show the, make the point. Yes, there are a few instances in history where gold said, hey, you know, I need to correct it. I'll be darned if it wasn't at the same time the stock market was imploding. But that's very rare. And right now, we just had a correction in gold. And the stock market is, in our view, especially the U.S. stock market, in a major topping process. It has been for a year, including go back to last January. We said, okay, sell, it's going down, but it's a topping process. Mm-hmm. And by that, I meant, you know, it's not going to crash and just keep going. 2000 top took a full year of up and down. Spooky moves both ways that fool people. And then finally, it started its bear market in 2001. 2007, a whole year of up and down process of topping at levels that we had predicted the year before, by the way. And it wasn't until really the summer of 2008, about 9 or 10 months after the actual price high, that the S&P finally did something that people said, oh my gosh, it's a bear, you know. Gold is the alternative. And if you go back historically to the 1929 to 32 era, for example, yeah, gold was not legal, okay, but gold miners were, and they went vertical as the stock market collapsed from 29 to 32. Same thing happened in about 1973, the S&P, I think, made a high of significance and dropped until late 74, including a crash month at the end of 74. And what was going on at that time? Gold was going vertical, okay? Just before it was legalized in the US, and the cash market was going from 30 bucks to 200, okay? Then you look at the 2000 top, 2002 low in the stock market, gold was advancing. It said to go on and on. I'm not gonna labor the point. So what happens when the stock market breaks is that it almost always is followed quickly by very dark data points. Mm-hmm. The excuses that the central banks can then say, okay, it's our job to put this fire out. and they print and they print and they print and they take money price below any market reality level, in other words, interest rates, and try to induce life into the corpse. Okay. The bubble they created that is breaking, they try to get it alive again and it doesn't work. The money goes somewhere else. And one of the places it goes is gold. It used to be in 2000, 2002, 2007 through 9 that T-bonds would also get some of that money flow. As it came out of the stock market, it would go into T-bonds. And so T-bonds would tend to rise with gold. And I'm talking in price of T-bonds, not yields. Not so this time. While gold has had an explosive move, the T-bonds over the last few years have continued to ooze lower, and in price, higher in yield. So they've not been the alternative. So therefore, we as gold people are looking at the stock market because we know that when the beast breaks, all kinds of data points will go dark and the Fed will go berserk. And that is what gold is. It's the inverse of the decaying money unit. In our case, the dollar or the yen or the euro. And the central banks panic. They liquefy their systems. They create more money units, make things better. And therefore, the buying power of the money units declines, creates inflated prices. Okay. Sometimes it goes to the stock market, which it did during 2009 to 2000, this year, 2026. The money flow, free money also, 10 of those 15, 16 years, we had interest rates like a zero. Okay. So no wonder it went up. Okay. But when it breaks, investors seek some alternative. And it's always ends up being gold, maybe T-bonds. This time around, expect it to only be the monetary metals.
Yeah, so you said a lot of things there. I want to pull out a little bit, but I have a question for you, and this is related to a comment of what you just said, that this is a process related to the stock market. I couldn't agree more with you that it is a process. Topping is a process. And I guess what I'm trying to get at, and correct me if I'm wrong, and please chime in, crashes don't happen in the springtime or the summer. Is that correct?
I don't know about that, but the point is that they are not necessarily a given in any stock bear market. Yes, 29 to 32, it began with a crash, followed, by the way, a 50% rally back to the high in early 1930. And President Hoover said, "Everything's fine." I wiped his brow. Then that's when the hell broke loose. Because for the next 2 years to the summer of 32, the stock market went down with no crash, yet
Right.
it dropped 80 something percent. Okay. Then look at 2000, 2002. If you go back and look at the charts of NASDAQ 100 or S&P, you can't really find a crash in there. A crash being like 30% drop in a couple of weeks is a crash. Okay. 87 was a crash, for example. 29 October was a crash. There were 30 plus percent drop in a matter of weeks. Okay, didn't happen 2000, 2002. And in 2007 to 9, it only happened in 1 month, being October of 2008. A full year off the high, which had been October of 2007, you finally had a crash month, which had been going on for a whole year in an arm wrestling manner, confusing to many. And finally, in October, a year off the high, it had a crash, a 30% drop literally in 1 month. Okay. You don't have to have a crash. It is not a pre-written rule. You might. Now, there's a level at which we think you could get one, but we're not near it right now. Right now, we think we're in the topping process. And if you'll, I sent you some charts that,
Yeah, let's pull them up.
like the S&P on the first page, this is from our weekend report. So the data is as of Friday's close last week. What you're looking at on the top chart is S&P monthly bar chart going back to 2021. You can see the 22 peak, 21 peak, then the drop into 2022, and then the advance since then. And you can see that sharp drop there about a year ago in April. Yeah, that was the panic selling based on tariff. Okay. First off, you don't really want to go down based on a headline. But most stock market bears, when they start, there's no particularly smack in the face reason that says, oh, we're going down because of this. If you get those kind of stories like we got last year, and we said sell it back in January of last year, sure enough, we had the drop, and we said you'd probably go to 4,800, and that's where you went. It was based on a headline, and the headline was, oh my gosh, tariffs. The subject had never been on the table. Trump got elected, then it was on the table. And a few months later, the market panicked because of it. And then he came out and waved a wand and said, oh, 90-day pause. And everybody said, oh boy, party's on. And they bought it and they took it back up again, like little puppies given a cookie. You know, it's sort of ridiculous. Now we have another story. It's the Iran thing. Okay, that's going to take us down. Well, that's not the be all and end all of the stock market. The stock market, if it's a bubble, as we argue it is based on a decade and a half plus of monetary distortion, free money, decaying value in the money unit, the buying power of the money due to the increase in the supply in the money units, artificially low interest rates. Either zero or at high levels, 5% or something. If you go back and look 75 years to a Fed funds rate chart, the short-term end of the market, even when they raised rates in the last 10 to 15 years, like the recent one, and now we're coming back down again, those highs that were reached in short-term rates were nothing compared to the average short-term rates of the prior 75 years. So even with the rises, it really wasn't a high rate level. So the market was spoon-fed free money. You know, I call it a Cheech and Chong time. Everybody's high and having a good time, you know. And the reason it will go down is because of errors it made compounded over the many years based on false investments, based on false notion of what's the cost of money. And the ready availability of lots of money. Well, when the beast breaks, as I think we're starting to do, that's when the Fed wets their pants and they go back in and they try to print, print, print. Only this time it doesn't work. Okay, look at the charts now. There's your price chart. You can see we're having a bad month this month, that last bar there. Now drop down below, and what you see is the S&P plotted via our method. In this case, we're using a three-quarter moving average, which is sort of like a 200 day, but it only changes once every quarter. You readjust, what are the last three quarters of price action? What's the average price? Okay. And that's our zero line on that momentum chart, the bottom chart. And you're either above that average or you're below it, and you plot the oscillator accordingly. Well, look at the low close in April was where that red line was, that horizontal. It bounced back. Look what the low close was a year prior at the same level. And they were both slightly below the zero line. In other words, below the three-quarter average. That didn't matter to us. Breaking the average itself isn't always important. But there's a structure there. In other words, two low closes spanning going back to 2023. Okay. You close below that and you're breaking a major momentum structure, a floor. You cannot see it on the price chart. There is no floor. On the momentum chart, there's a horizontal floor. You close below that, a monthly close, and you've broken this major structure, a momentum structure that says you're headed down, boy. Okay. Now, next quarter, starting Wednesday, okay, you close any month next quarter around 64.24. Well, where are we right now? We're slightly below there as we're talking. You close any month next quarter below that number, and you're going to close below that red line. So, wouldn't be surprised to see an effort to bounce off of that level one more time, but ultimately you're not going to hold. So that's a number to circle and nail to your wall, 6424, next quarter, any monthly close, April, May, June, and you break that structure. Flip the page to the next one. Now we go to annual momentum, a really longer-term metric. This is where we measure the price of the S&P, or on the bottom set of the charts, or NASDAQ 100, against their three-year moving averages. Now you can see there on the top set of charts, the S&P momentum chart there, you had an upward pattern since 2022, the black zigzag line on that second chart down, that one there. Yeah. And there was one, two, 3 points. And you tried to hold it over the last couple of months, that line. And finally, this month, you couldn't hold it. So one, you've broken a trend line going back to 2022, Multi-year trend line on momentum. You've not broken any such line, if you can even plot one on the price chart. Momentum says, uh-oh, I just broke a leg. There's a red line there that we're sitting on. And hopefully we're going to close steady around where that line is and bounce maybe, because I think there's a bounce potential in the stock market here, probably to help erase the noisy selling based on Iran. Again, when you go down, you want to have all these big, dark, short-term problems out of the way. And so people can't figure out why is it going down. Okay. Now, the NASDAQ 100, same picture. It broke its uptrend channel since 2022, not on price, but on momentum. And it's trying to hold right now, and hopefully it will this month, that red line. Because frankly, what I'd like to see now is a bounce. We've got some short-term reasons to assume starting right about now, maybe in the next several weeks, you can get a bounce, which will make everybody feel good, right? Because if you can take Iran and reduce the temperature, or maybe you have a street rebellion and the government gets overthrown, remember, that could always come up. People don't think that's going to happen. I sort of suspect it might.
I'm not
Then,
laughing at you either. I'm
yeah,
not laughing what you
I know.
said.
But when
But
these
yeah.
kind of imagine, see, let's say that happens. Something happens to take Iran off the burner. And where, oh, okay, it's going to be okay now. Okay, we got the flow through the strait and so forth and so on. So the nightmare we thought was existing is gone away. So we can buy stocks again, right? That's the environment you want for the onset of the real bear market. No particular headline.
Yeah. No,
Tariffs were
that's
the head.
key.
A year ago, it was nothing but tariffs. You hardly even hear it talked about today.
Right.
Totally replaced by Iran. I don't know what's next, but anyway.
Right.
So anyway, this is what we see in the stock market is a topping process that's sitting on its last legs. And these lines, these red lines on both these charts, they're coming out. But hopefully we're going to get some kind of attempt to hold one more time based on the bad stories going away. But anyway,
So
these
about all
guys,
that, let me
go
just
ahead.
interrupt you. Yeah, well, about all that, I couldn't agree more with you. I actually expect a bounce, a significant bounce even here. It doesn't mean I'm bullish or bearish. And also, by all means, I am making a prediction, but I'm not giving you financial advice. I could be wrong. Absolutely. But I do expect to bounce also just because of negativity. It's just so negative right now. And then you typically when everybody's on one side of the boat, the opposite happens. But this is really key. And to all my viewers and listeners, you guys are getting a treat because this is Michael's latest report that came out yesterday. I got in my inbox yesterday. Okay, so let's talk about the next chart, page 3 here on your report. Just really the monetary metals here. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, what this is, if you think about this, if you're an investor, you should not be thinking about what's going to happen the next 3 months or 6 months. I mean, if you're a trader, yes, okay. In which case, you could flip-flop all year long. Oh, 3 month surge, 3 month sell-off. You don't care about the major trend. But if you care about an investment grade trend, something you can maybe buy and hold for the next couple of years, then you should be looking at big picture stuff, not the day-to-day headlines. Okay. What these charts show is simple. It shows gold miners and silver plotted in their relationship to the valuation comparison to the S&P 500. And these charts go back to 2008. And as you can see on the left side of each of these charts, its high levels were reached in 2008 through 11. And that's when gold peaked. Remember in that price, it peaked in late 2011. So did its spread relationship to the S&P. So did silver. So did the gold miners versus the S&P. They not only dropped in net price, but they dropped in relative value to the S&P. Okay. So the spreads collapsed. Okay. And the spreads collapsed down through 2015 and even a little bit lower, a little later, as the markets themselves dropped, gold miners, silver. Okay. But then over the last, like 10 years, these charts effectively went sideways, meaning they were holding their value. Whereas if you randomly bought gold miners or gold or silver, like say 8, 9, 10 years ago, where these spreads are right now, you're actually making money versus the stock market. Nobody
Right.
believes that, but you've been actually been making money and holding your own all during that time, meaning as the stock market advanced, so did gold and silver. So they weren't really a worse place to be. They didn't have any headlines. Stock market always has headlines. But from a long-term investment point of view, these charts are all echoing the same statement. They're saying, hey, we're now beating monetary metals and the miners thereof are beating the stock market. And this is a fresh major base breakout in all three cases. Their performance just shifted back in November. So when you have a base that's more than 10 years wide, let's say this is a price chart, and somebody flipped it on your desk and said, should I buy this? You say, heck yes, that's a fresh breakout. So these spread charts are all saying is one, I built a major base that said, I'm not going any lower. Step one. Step two, the base is huge. It's clear. It's definable. You just broke out in November, Dec, Jan, Feb, March, 4 months old. And the spread is not that far off the breakout level, far enough to be noticeable, but still, it's not overdone. It's not aged. There's nothing about these charts that says anything but buy me. Relative to the stock market. And it just began. It's just the opposite of what happened back in 2008 through 11. You could see the spreads were topping. And anyway, so now we've bottomed freshly. This thing's going up. These markets are going to beat the stock market over the next several years. And it just began. So it's not overheated like everybody claims. And now look at the drop you see on each of those charts. That's where we were as of Friday. Okay, gold versus S&P, gold miners versus S&P, silver versus S&P. Hardly noticeable. Not the kind of drop that would say this chart is negated. No, it's just a little hiccup. Okay, so this is what investors should be looking at,
And
not charts.
also, I might add to you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. I saw this opportunity. I actually sold, I still, everybody, I own a lot of miners, okay? I own a lot of miners, but I was selling into the strength just because of my expectation that and this is my trader hat. If you're a trader, I just
That's
like
fine.
it's really getting hot, if you would. And then everybody's on one side of it, and there's a lot of headlines about gold and silver and the miners. And then I was just, it made me scared, it made me weary. But then this recent correction, I'll call it a correction, it got, and again, this is just what markets do, and I just want you to chime out. It got a lot of people out and everybody questioning. You kind of want that, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, in a market, just unless, and it really, it behoves those people that keep their wits and also keep their emotions in check and just really follow the charts, because the charts, just your charts, paint such a beautiful, beautiful picture. So, but yeah, go ahead.
No, absolutely. We thought that breakout in November, by the way, on these spread charts, relative performance, is our final buy signal for gold now and silver and the miners. We put out long-term buy signals in 2024, April, March, April of 2024. At that point, silver, for example, was pushing up toward 26. Okay. And the golds and miners were much lower levels than they are now. We put out another buy signal in June of 25. And we're talking silver, especially here. And November of last year was our final major last point of entry. Okay. So if you're joining now, you're late. We're not going to offer major entry points now. We'll offer short-term entry points, but the big signals have already been rendered, this being the last one that you're looking at there. So the issue is, okay, what are we expecting out of this big shift? And we're expecting a explosive acceleration move in the whole complex.
I
But
agree.
we've been arguing all along that somewhere in the middle of this clock, and we think the clock is like a couple quarters. Meaning starting December, so early summer, let's say, much of the dramatic part of the price move should occur. It happened sooner than we thought. We thought there would be a midpoint correction. Therefore, we were kind of thinking maybe April. Instead, it happened the end of January. So we're fooled, yes. But we still regard this when we look at our long-term momentum charts and even these spread charts. There's nothing being broken here. You're just having a sharp sell-off. And therefore, it's a sell-off within an uptrend. And it's a buying opportunity for those who didn't buy at our buy points. Like if you average our last 3 buy points in silver, the average price of those 3 points of entry was $36 an ounce. Okay. So we're trading 72 as we speak. Okay. So, well, should I be crying? Okay. I don't know. Anyway, we think that what you saw at the end of January, by the way, which took a day and a half, was really one day, January 30th, and a half a day on the opening of February. Almost all the break had occurred by then. And last week, we went down and nipped out those two lows, the low on gold that had occurred then and the low on silver that had occurred then. We stayed below those lows for 2 hours since early last week and then said, right back above them and said, I don't belong down there. Okay. That was the final cleansing poke. Okay. I think we're now in the process of resuming the upside. There's a point at which, like you said, we've dumped a lot of people here. And that's fine because a lot of these people were late comers. They didn't buy at $36 silver or $25 silver or where silver was in November when it broke out on this spread versus the S&P and also versus gold, it did. Silver was then 56. Okay. So this move, this jiggle we're seeing is what we think is middle of the clock, basically, of what we thought would take 2 quarters. Okay, December, January, February. Okay, now we're in March. Okay, April, May. I think by summer, if we see this short-term turn up that we're seeing right now continue just a little bit more, we're going to get some breakouts on short-term stuff that say, yep, going back up again. Okay, now where is the public going to wake up? Flip the page. Let's see if we can, if the chart's there.
About all that, Michael, and I'll just talk to my viewers and listeners. Number one, I love just a trader hat. I love pain. I love, but I love pain, but it has to be, but it's just can't be just pain. It has to be in a structure, if you would. It has to be, technically speaking, that's what you're showing us. It has to be also held within a structure, technically
Yeah, if this
speaking.
break had broken something on long-term momentum of silver, gold, or the miners, we'd be bearish. We turned bearish on gold 2 months after its high in 2011 and stayed bearish till 2016, February of 2016, because long-term momentum had broken. Right now, this break in gold and silver that we had didn't break any long-term metrics. It broke short-term stuff. Yeah, you could always do that, but then those can heal quickly. But anyway, this is within the complex. Silver versus gold is the top left chart. And this is the one we're mainly focused on. Silver is very cheap in relation to gold. It's a little bit more than 1% of the value of gold there, or 1.5%, excuse me. And we think it's going to go to 3 to 6%. It's like, look at the 2011 high on that chart there. It got up over 3%. Divide an ounce of silver into an ounce of gold, it was 3% plus. Right now we're above one. It's still cheap versus gold, and it is a monetary metal. Don't let thousands of years of history go by. It's a monetary metal, and the same thing's going on with the miners. The XAU index versus gold down below, and the Huey versus gold. They both broke out of relative performance situations too. So they're saying, hey, buy silver and buy the miners. Yes, gold is the mama, but we're going to outperform the mama market within the complex. Now look at the gold chart below. Go to the next page. Just simple, stupid price chart. Okay. Well, we're higher than that right now. In fact, if you factor in that we're rotating to June gold, then we're well above that last reading. But there's 3 months up there, effectively stalled at the same price level. You get up to 53, 5400. There was one spike above 55, but basically, you at 3 months pounding the same level. Gold doesn't peak that way. If you go back to 2011, when you made your high in September, I think it was 2011, you dropped from 1900 down into like the 1500s. You never came back anywhere close to the 1920 price high. You came up into the 1700s again, but you couldn't get back up to the old high. Well, if you internally look at gold on a daily chart, anybody who's watching this right now, go to your quote screen, punch up a daily continuation of gold, you'll see that the peak daily close back in late January was just above 5300. Early this month, we had a peak daily close just above 5300. In other words, not only does monthly price chart go back up into that supposed thin air, But the daily price close went back up and effectively matched the peak close of January. In other words, the air is not as thin as you think up here. You shouldn't have been able to go back to the high again. We're saying now you go back to 5,300 gold again, they're going to blow your head off.
Yeah.
And for silver, we think the key level is getting back over 90 again. And we're talking price now, not
Yeah.
momentum. Momentum will give you earlier signals, and those are in our reports. But for just a price chart guy, if you want to know when this quote correction is over with, which has really been a violent sideways consolidation, if you look at it, you get back over 90 on silver and you get gold to 5,300. You better cover your shorts, okay? Or you're going to wet them because they're going to blow at that point. And
Yeah.
you're going to get the acceleration that we expected in this couple quarter surge. And consider what you saw in late January to be the midpoint correction,
Got it.
time-wise. I think silver could be $300 to $500.
That's
You
a
get back up,
beautiful thing.
serious. Yes, no. And the factors in play are both the monetary aspect, because if during that same time we see those S&P charts, one, have a little bounce now, waste some of late March, early April, maybe a couple weeks here, have a nice rally because the Iran thing abates or whatever. And then you roll back through those annual and quarterly structures we showed. You're going to have a blood flow. And already some smart money's been moving into what? Not T-bonds, gold and silver.
Gold and
Yeah.
silver.
Okay. You'll have a massive money flow out of that broken bubble into
Yeah.
gold and silver once it becomes a public awareness that, oh my gosh, it's really broken.
Yep.
And the central bank will go berserk. And we
Yeah.
already know, the new Fed chair is going to go berserk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I like that you marry everything too. Not only the technical, which is what you're known for, but also just the fundamental here. And I do have that same expectation as the stock market tops out. They got to keep this thing going. They just got to keep it going. That money flow's got to go somewhere. And how are
Well,
they gonna prime the prime it?
Watch, by the way, one thing we pointed out back in October, and since then we've updated and updated. Everybody's looking at AI. Yes, AI ultimately will lead the downside. The leader in the prior bull usually will lead the downside, mean suffer more. But it's only been AI was only the leader in the last 3 years of that bull market, not since 2009, but only in the last couple of years has AI really been the leader. What you got to watch is financials. And we've been watching them and they've been bleeding badly, not in a collapse, no, but badly technically. Who are those structures that we showed on S&P, like the quarterly momentum? They've already blown those structures. Some key banks have blown those structures.
And think about that.
Yeah,
That's,
that is what upsets the Fed more than anything.
yeah.
So are they going to go berserk? You bet to you they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about that. No, that's great insight. I mean, I think you really nailed it here too. Talk to me about page six here on your report here. And you might
Well,
have.
there's just these are shorter term, and there's levels that we're toying with right now. And this is last week, so they're not up to date. You don't have to hold on those charts, by the way. There are near term momentum factors, things like weekly momentum, not the monthly things that we were looking at before, and annual momentum and so forth. But where you measure silver and gold versus very short term metrics to try to define when a short-term sell-off is turning back up. So for example, silver early this month was what, $90 early in the month again, closed the day up there. And then you started down. Well, when it came down into below 80 again, we said there could be a break. Sure enough, there was. And the break ended up taking out the February low, which was 66 something. We get to 61 something. Okay, we're well back above that now. But when does that upturn turn up really? Is it just a minor rally in a new downtrend on the short term, or is it an upturn that's changing that? And when we look at momentum, we see that it's changing it. In fact, we're at levels today, after this report was done, that are getting above breakout levels on too many short-term metrics of the metals, meaning, yep, it's probably a real upturn here.
Yeah.
Went and swept that low just for fun, okay, to scare some more folks out, and now in price. And now momentum says, now I'm going back up. Well, if you're a bear, you need to start paying attention to short term again. because even the short term is telling you, uh-oh, we close today pretty firm, or any day this week, like we are right now as we speak, it's probably turning up again.
Yeah,
And so
I agree too. You can see it also just, and again, just talking about price too, but just in the market price action here, it looks like you're right on here. So.
well, we shall see. But we think that when this thing reasserts itself again, you get gold back up, 5,300 especially, but we've got levels well below there on momentum. Or silver breaks out in the short term, which it's probably doing today, but get back over 90 again, which most people won't make a lot of sense of. Here's the daily silver chart since the high in January, the top chart. Forget the momentum. I've circled the three peaks up there just above 90. Those are the highs where rallied, each rally high after the break. They sold it over 90, sold it over 90, sold it over 90. Okay, it's a game. You go back there a fourth time, it could blow your head off. Meaning, hey, your ceiling isn't a ceiling. Okay, you shouldn't keep going back to the same ceiling. Okay, it states intent on the part of silver. So anyway, that's what I'd be looking at. And when you take that out, I expect to see the type of accelerated price move that we had coming up from November, December into January, with the argument that likely it'll be even more accelerated than what we saw then.
Yeah. Well, time can be tricky, but I want to put you on the spot and give us a time, and I don't want to put words in your mouth either. I think that's, I don't want to say imminent, but I think that's happening in the next several months here, a few to
Yeah.
several months here. I think.
I think by summer you'll be fully realizing that, oh golly, I guess now it's $250 silver headed to 300 or 500. Maybe I should buy some. Well, you can if you want, but our average buy level was $36. So anyway, but yeah, no, and I think it will be a point where, one, the market has cleansed itself nicely. That's one good thing, of latecomers. People that got in early who had their helmets on and knew there was going to be a midpoint correction, which we said there would be. Yes, it was more serious than we thought in terms of percent, and a little bit sooner, like a month or so. But I still think was a midpoint, on the clock. And basically, we got another 3 or 4 months we could go. We'd get into the summer. And I think by then, you're likely to see silver in a new reality, something it's long overdue for.
So, I'm sharing your sentiment as well. I see an explosive move. And by the way, just to all my viewers and listeners, Michael, you've been on many shows, but on my show, you nailed this. You nailed the first move. And so, kudos to you. And again, to all my viewers and listeners, I am a client, a very happy client. But talk to me, go back a little bit more to the miners here. There's such a great washout with the miners. And I can stop sharing this unless we can go back to it.
Yeah, well, the miners are vastly, vastly undervalued historically to gold. In other words, if you take the XAU index, which has been around since the 1980s, like GDX hasn't, it was only around since 2006. So take something that's been around a while. An XAU index, if you divided the price of XAU, which is the Philadelphia Gold and Silver Miners Index, by the way, and divided into 1 ounce of gold, you'd see that from the 1980s, 90s, up through 2008. So for several decades, its average valuation divided into gold was 25%, which was always worth 25% of an ounce of gold, one share of XAU. Okay. Sometimes it was 35%, and it had lows like in the 17, 18%. But on average, during that multi-decade period, 25%, let's call it average valuation. You know where it collapsed to in 2015?
Tell me.
4%. I mean, what do you think it's going to be free? Okay. They're the people that get it out of the ground. And they were worth 25% on average. And now, then 2015, 4%? Give me a break. Okay. Right now, they're worth like 7.5 to 8%. Okay. By our metrics, XAU versus gold spread chart and Huey versus gold have both emerged enough in recent months to break out of the basing pattern that they had since 2015, indicating, hey, we're alive. We want to go to a normal valuation to that which we dig it out of the ground. Okay. Well, heck, even the bottom end of that multi-decade range of relative value of XAU to gold was 17.5, 18%. Well, right now, that's more than a double in their relative value just to get to the bottom
Right.
of the prior multi-decade valuation zone.
Yeah.
Doubling in value. Meaning, if over the next 6 months or a year we see gold go up to, some minimum high like 8,000, which by the way, JP Morgan has now come up and said 9,000 2 months ago as an ultimate. We think 8,000 is ridiculously cheap still because that just matches the two prior bull markets that occurred in the last 50 years. There were eight full moves. Ours is right now at, let's call it, we started from 1,050. You do the math. 8,000 would match those moves, okay? Merely match them. But if you took gold to 8,000 and doubled the value of the XAU index from where it is now, it would be like a tripling in the price of XAU. So
Think about that.
we think the potential for silver to gain versus gold, which is still very cheap versus gold historically, and miners versus gold is enormous. So yes, watch the mama market, gold, but the children are about to surge in front, okay? Or the puppies, whatever you want to call them. They're about to regain value and go back to some normality, not even excess. In valuation, which would take their price off the page,
Speaking of value, I mean, I talk to miners all day, and these guys are printing money, whether it's, I mean, at 3,000 gold, 2,500 gold, or and they're printing money at $30 silver, $25 silver. So value relative, I want to say, yeah, we all want a better price than, you want to get it the cheapest that you can, but it's also relatively cheap
It is cheap. No,
right
no.
now.
As we on the spreads and also versus the stock market. So silver versus gold miners versus gold, silver versus the stock market, gold versus, they're all cheap and they all indicate new trend direction, meaning silver's going to beat gold. Silver's going to beat the stock market. Gold's going to beat the stock. And it just began in terms of the valuation technicals. So even though we're not going to offer a new primary entry point, okay, based on long-term metrics, all our long-term stuff is fully positive. It was positive over the last 2 years. We're just going to try to help people stay in it, at this point. But I think that a lot of monetary things in the world, fundamental, are going to change, especially when the stock market starts to break in a way that hurts. In a way that you get a headline, no longer is it a regional bank, but oh my gosh, a big bank has a problem. That's all you need to hear to totally turn the tables over and put fuel into the monetary metals.
And really, that's, I think, indicative of several things, but just if you think of the macro of printing money, but also, as you just talked about, just value, but also just money flow. Money flow is going to go to value, and it
Somewhere.
has. That's what happened really in the start of all this. It started going to value. People just waking up, oh my gosh, the miners are so cheap relative to what they're producing. So you don't see a change in any of that.
No, I the change is going to be getting back to a norm. And when we say, XAU is going to triple in price, it's not a price chart based thing, it's a valuation based thing. And historically, XAU or the gold miners versus the S&P says, oh, buy, you want to buy stocks? Yeah, buy those stocks. Okay. No, nobody considers those to be a legitimate part of the market, but they're gold miners. And it's also true, by the way, with most commodity arena areas, whether you're talking base metals, ag related stocks, even energy related. Commodity complex is now on the tail of gold. It has decided to join gold. It didn't. From 2015 to 2020, the commodity complex went down still while gold doubled. But now, over the last year or so, especially since October, we put out a major buy signal on the Bloomberg Commodity Index. And sure enough, all the subcomponents within that index, grains, base metals, now energy. Back in January, we said buy oil crossing through 63, well before the war ever started, okay? But the entire commodity complex is now saying, hey, we're cheap too. The money flow is going to us as well.
Yeah. And you actually highlighted all of that in a lot of all of our previous talks. I typically have you on at least once a month or once every 60 days or so. Yeah, you pounded the table on all of that, and that's exactly what happened. But real quick, and we'll end on this. You nailed energy, and we didn't expect a war, or I didn't talk to you
No.
about a war at then, but talk a little bit about energy. The things get again resolved in some way. Do you expect
Well,
a shorter-term sell-off in energy?
oil was going to go up anyway. It was dirt cheap historically compared to its own price levels. If you ran a spread chart of crude oil versus any other commodity like gold or silver, it was off the page cheap. It's in the middle range of the Bloomberg Commodity Index in terms of multi-year valuation, so it's not hot at all, even with the recent rally, in terms of relative value of oil price to the Bloomberg, okay? Measured versus the stock market, it's off the page cheap. What is it going to be free? Yeah, ultimately in our lifetime or your kid's lifetime, maybe we'll rotate fully to solar. It wouldn't shock me. More so, that's a very aggressive move, and that helps silver, by the way. But no, oil was going to go up anyway. And in January, when it crossed through one of our momentum technicals, the long-term momentum factor, it was crossing through $63. And we said, hey, don't be surprised if it's in the mid-90s in the next couple months or so. We didn't expect a war. We're talking
Right.
January now. War didn't start till March. Admittedly, the war has probably caused oil to go a little too fast too soon. And so anybody buying oil based on war news could have their gut kicked pretty good. No, it's not going to wipe out the bull move of oil. Oil's going up anyway, but it could very well take you from 100 buck West Texas Intermediate down to the upper 70s again. It wouldn't shock me if anything abates over there, if the strait opens again, for example. The guys who bought late could be killed. Okay. However, the long-term momentum trend of oil turned up before that. And so that may have overheated it a little too much too soon. So on a short-term basis, no, I wouldn't be buying oil here. But if you do get a break, like good news out of Iran, and you see it back under 80 again or something, you ought to start watching it closely, because that could be a buying opportunity for bigger reasons. Simply the dirt cheap valuation of oil compared to almost any other asset, including its own old highs, 150, 140, et cetera, So that's what I see in oil, by the way.
Yeah, so paraphrase, and this is music to my ears. I already have oil, and I bought it really in last year and into January, but I'm just waiting for pain now, and that's again, and just when the news becomes good or whatever. And I certainly hope for peace, and I don't want any war, just for all the record. But yeah, I'd love to. I'm just waiting to come to me, come to me, come to me, if you would. So, Michael, if people want to do business with you, they want access to you, you send out your reports. How do they get in touch with you? How do they get in touch with your reports? And a technical analysis, really, like I don't see it like any other. So how do they do that?
It's Oliver MSA. Oliver MSA for Momentum Structural Analysis. Go to the site, spend some time reading about our unorthodox methodology. You see a lot of archived reports there from going back decades. And consider request some samples. You'll find my email address on that site under my picture. You can click on it and ask for some sample reports. Be happy to send them.
Yeah, and to all my viewers and listeners, I'm a very, very happy client, and I think I've been with you for now a couple of years, if I'm not mistaken. So, I want to thank you so much for your time, Michael. Great update in these interesting times, to say the least. And we'll get you on again as soon as you'll have come on
Thanks,
again.
Andy.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.